Nehemiah here in chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 1. We've been preaching this year. The theme for our year was learning how to kneel, to sit, to stand, to walk, and to run. And throughout this year, I studied those thoughts about kneeling and sitting and standing in the Bible and preached on those. And never got to walking and running. So we're going to begin to study throughout the Bible things that the Bible teaches us about learning how to walk. And we'll go many directions, I believe, but learning how to walk the Christian walk and so on. And eventually we'll get to running and learning how to run the race that God has for us. And I believe that it'll help us in our Christian life. Nehemiah chapter 9. And let's stand together, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 1. Here the Bible says this: Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, these men, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, and Bani, and Hashbaniah, and Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, Pethaliah, those are what I want to name all my sons, right? Those are great names. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. The title of the message comes from that verse there and that expression where they said to the people of Israel, stand up and bless the Lord your God. Stand up and bless the Lord your God. I want to preach to you on that topic this morning. Stand up and bless the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to work in our hearts. We thank you for this book. We believe it's the Word of God without error. We believe you inspired it. You gave it to holy men of God. We believe it was God-given and God-preserved. And we thank you for this book now that we can have and read and know of your love for us, know of the good things you've done for us. And Father, I pray you'd encourage our hearts this morning as we think about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here in the book of Nehemiah, God's people were experiencing a time of revival. Many of you would know that the people of Israel had been taken captivity into Babylon, and there was a time where God sent some of his people back, and they were able to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that had all been broken down. They were able to rebuild the temple and restore the temple worship of God that the Jews did for their God. And so many great things were taking place. Some rebuilding took place. And earlier in the book of Nehemiah, we see that the walls rebuilt. But you know what? There was more than just, you know, some walls that needed rebuilding. There was people that needed some rebuilding and some restoring. And that took place. And we've read before, preached before from Nehemiah chapter 8, and we see a lot of things that went into a great revival taking place there in the time of Nehemiah and with the people of Israel. God's people were experiencing a time of great personal revival and renewal in their life. Back in chapter 8, we see the Word of God was taking priority in their lives, in the life of God's people. People were hearing the Word of God. Even in chapter 9, we read it, how it says how they all stood together for the reading of the Word of God like we just did, except they did it for 1/4 part of the day. That could be quite a while. That could mean 6 hours. I don't necessarily think it means six hours. It probably means 3 hours, because the evening and the day and so on were the first day. It could be that for 3 hours in the morning, they just all stood together. Nobody got fidgety, you know, and just ran off and you know, quit. They all stood together, even with the children that were able to understand. And they listened to the Word of God being just simply read to them. Then the Bible says, but for another fourth part of the day, the word of God was preached. We see that in chapter 8, how there were some men that stood up on a pulpit of wood, the Bible says, and they preached to them and helped them to understand the word of God that had just been read for the last 3 hours. How'd you like that? That'd be a pretty long church service. You throw in some singing time and some praying time and some confessing of sins and all this that took place. They spent the entire day to church, wall to wall. How'd you like that? But hey, they were excited. They were revived. Great things were taking place in their life. They were confessing sin. They were getting their hearts right with God. And in the midst of this time was when this challenge came from the Levites for God's people to stand up and bless the Lord. We read it there in verse 5. They said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." What does it mean to bless the Lord? What does it mean? Well, we find those words or very similar expressions used very often in the book of Psalms. I want you to turn there with me to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, and hold on, we'll read it together in just a moment, a few verses. But people often just want the Lord to they would say, "Lord, bless us. Lord, bless me." And that's okay. We're to pray, "Lord, bless me." But you know what? More than just seeking for God to, "Lord, bless us. Lord, bless me." You know what? I think there are some times where the Lord enjoys it when you bless Him. When you bless His name, His glorious name. They said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever." But what does it mean for us to bless the Lord? I want us to look at several verses in the Psalms that mention something like this. And I think you'll see the psalmist expressing his heart to God. I think you see in the book of Psalms that when people were blessing the Lord, they were expressing their thoughts of love and praise and appreciation and thanksgiving towards God. I think that's what it means to bless the Lord. When there are some people that will think about God and remember God, and then their hearts swell up with love for God and appreciation for God, that they want to express that to Him. They want to bless the name of the Lord. They were being mindful. They were being thoughtful of God's goodness and God's blessing in their life. And they were just letting the Lord know just how much it meant to them. I want you to think about these verses. And we're going to look through the Psalms and look at several verses. And I want you to think about the goodness of your God. I want you to think this morning about His mercy and His grace. I want you to think about His magnificent power and strength. And I think it'll make you want to say, like the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I think if you'll do like I believe they did, and we'll see later in Nehemiah, like they did, and you'll think about God, and you'll remember God, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." We sing a song, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what? That song can be sung with great enthusiasm and so much more meaning and sincerity from the heart if we'll think about our God. And remember our God and remember His goodness and remember His grace in our lives. I want you to be able to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." We may look at something at the end of the message where sometimes it may be difficult for people with all that is within them to bless His holy name unless we make some things right. But I want us to be able to do that. I want us to be able to bless the name of the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 18 with me, and let's look there at verse number 1. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 1. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." Look down with me at verse number 46. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." You know what I think the psalmist was doing? Standing up and blessing the Lord. He was thinking about God, his rock, thinking about God, the rock of his salvation. And he was blessing the Lord that day, praising God, exalting God for what he had done. In Psalm chapter 26, it says this, "So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Psalm 26, 6 and 7, and then verse 12, it says, "In the congregation will I bless the Lord." In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Do you ever bless the Lord? Can you ever say like the psalmist, "Blessed be the name"? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name." We need to think of God more and think of His greatness and think of what He's done for us. Look with me at Psalm chapter 34, if you would. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 1. "In the congregation of the saints, I encourage you to bless the Lord. In your home, I encourage you to bless the Lord. When you're driving down the road in your car, I encourage you to not stand up, but hey, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I want you to think about Him. I want you to remember Him often because God wants you to think about Him. And then He wants you to thank Him and praise Him and exalt Him." Psalm 34, look at verse number 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." That means it's good at church, it's good in the car, it's good at home, it's good in your bedroom, it's good when you're doing your morning devotions, when you're reading your Bible, it's good when you before you go to bed at night. Hey, it's good anytime. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." I'm not going to boast in myself. I'm going to boast in the Lord and His greatness. It says, "My soul shall boast, shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63 and verse number 3. Psalm 63 and verse 3. He found it. It says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." You know what the psalmist was saying? "I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord in the morning. I'm going to bless the Lord at night. I'm going to bless the Lord when I think on Him and when I meditate on Him and just think about what He's done for me and think about His goodness. When I remember His loving kindness, my lips will praise Him. My lips will praise Him." Look with me at Psalm 66 and verse number 8. Psalm chapter 66, verse 8. "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 19. Chapter 68, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." And then he thinks even of his salvation. Listen, you may have salvation to be thankful for. You're saved this morning. You've been born again. You know that Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. He died on the cross and He was buried and He rose again. He did all that. He suffered like He did. He left heaven and came down to earth to live among sinful men. Why? To go to the cross of Calvary, to die there for you and die there for me so that we could be saved and we could be forgiven. So that we could be born again, so we could be the children of God and have a home in heaven. Hey, if I've got salvation, that's enough for me to bless the Lord. Just my salvation is enough for me to be thankful to God for His loving kindness and mercy in my life to save me from sin and save me from hell and take me to heaven. You've got some reasons, amen, to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord for His goodness in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 68 and verse 26 says this, "Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. Bless the Lord." Psalm 68:35 says, "Blessed be God." Psalm chapter 72, look there with me. Psalm 72 and verse 18 and 19. Psalm chapter 72 and verse 18 and 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory." Amen and amen. Listen, there ought to be His glory throughout the whole earth, that we'll look, we'll think about our God, we'll remember His greatness, and we will glorify Him, and we will praise Him. His glory ought to be made known through the whole earth because of some people, God's people, who will be willing to stand up and bless the name of the Lord. Hey, even like the psalmist said earlier, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Do you know that when you bless the Lord at all times in your life, that'll be a wonderful testimony to the Lord? When you will be some Christians who, whether it's a great time in your life, or whether it's a time where there's some struggles in your life, or there's some burdens, or you're going through a valley in your life, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, if in those times you will still bless the Lord, and exalt the Lord, and magnify the Lord, you'll help God's glory to be seen even by the world. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Look over to Psalm chapter 100, if you would. Psalm chapter 100 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 100. That's something I appreciate so much about my mom, that she's blessed the name of the Lord no matter what. I have a wonderful mom. I'm thankful. A godly mom and godly heritage. But when she lost her husband as a middle-aged woman in her 40s, and she was left with a mess, really, left with a farm and left with a bunch of children to take care of, and just left to then be a single mom to raise her children and figure out what to do with the farm and all that, she still blessed the Lord. She still praised the Lord and glorified the Lord. When she lost her husband and then lost her dad the next year and then lost her son, her oldest son, a few years later, she still blessed the Lord and still praised Him and still had an attitude where she thought about God's goodness. She didn't just focus on some of the difficulties of life. She thought about the loving kindness of God. She thought about the grace of God and the mercy of God in her life to take this little girl, when she'd been a little girl in Northern Ontario, who saved her and changed her life so much. We can bless the Lord if we choose to, if we want to. We need to think of God's loving kindness. We need to bless Him. Psalm chapter 100 and verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Psalm chapter 104 and verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Psalm chapter 106 and verse number 48 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen, praise ye the Lord." You know what? Be good sometime to get some of God's people in here to sing a hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And many times kids in Sunday school or we, I don't know how much it happens in our Sunday school, but I've been in Sunday schools and on bus ministries and so on, where you get one side of the bus or one side of the classroom singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And then on the other side, all the kids scream out, "Praise you, Lord." And hey, that's a wonderful thing. You know what? We need some of God's people to do that. I won't make you do it like that, and I won't make you scream and lose your voice like we would do with the kids. But let me tell you something. You ought to have some hallelujah and some praise ye the Lord in you. You ought to be able to go home and think about God and think of His loving kindness and His grace and His greatness and be able to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Do you thank God? Do you think about God? Do you remember God? Thank Him for His greatness. Turn with me over to Psalm 145, if you would. Psalm 145. As you're turning there, the Bible says in Psalm 113, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Psalm 145 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." God wants you to bless His name. God wants you to bless Him. What does it mean to bless the Lord? I believe that we have a God who wants to be praised for His power. I believe we have a God who wants to be praised for His excellent greatness. I think God wants us to express our love towards Him. Do you know that I have a wife who enjoys it if I express my love towards her? She doesn't want it to be that, you know, I would never say I love you. I would never tell her my love. No, she wants to be reassured often of my love. It wouldn't do me no good to, you know, here I am and I'm this man and I've never told her I love you and we've been married 15 and a half years, and I would never say I love you and say, "Honey, can't you please just tell me that you love me?" I say, "Honey, I told you once that I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." That wouldn't make her feel so good. God wants to hear, "I love you." God wants you to express your love towards Him. He wants that. I think that's part of what it means to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. He'd love to hear you say, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you." He wants us to express our love towards Him. He wants to be praised for His mercy and His grace and His love and His kindness towards us. He wants to be exalted and glorified and magnified. He wants to be thought of. You know that God wants to be thought of. He wants to regularly be in our thoughts. I know from what the Bible says that I'm always in His thoughts. God keeps me on His mind all the time. But you know what? God would like to be assured. God would like to know that He is in our thoughts. That we're thinking of Him. That we're remembering Him. He wants to regularly be in our thoughts. He wants to be remembered. And He wants to be thanked. And He wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. Job 37:14 says, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Think about them. Consider them. Meditate on them, as we read earlier in the Psalms. Consider the wondrous works of God. Consider His greatness. Don't just dwell on all the problems that you got. Think about the loving kindness of your God. Think about the good things you do have. I think if you stand still and think about the wonderful things God has done for you, it'll make you want to bless the Lord. God wants to be praised and exalted and thanked and remembered for all that He has done for His people. Turn back with me to the book of Nehemiah, if you will. Go back there to the book of Nehemiah, and that's where we're going to finish this morning. I want you to just see something in this chapter. They were given the command there. They were told, "Stand up and bless the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord." But in the verses following, I think we have a wonderful example. They didn't just tell them to stand up and bless the Lord. They gave a great example then of what it means to stand up and bless the Lord. Nehemiah, chapter number 9. And let's look again there, at the end of verse 4, the names of all those men. Remember, they stood up, says, and they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, and it gives the names of all those men, they said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever." But then look what their words begin to be, and look at the wonderful example they set, really, of what it means to bless the Lord. It says, and they were talking to the people when they said, "Stand up and bless the Lord." But then it goes right into them talking to God. Standing up and blessing the Lord. It says, "And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Do you ever just thank God for creating this beautiful world? Do you ever thank God for the beautiful seasons that we enjoy? You know, say, thank God. God, I'm sure glad that every season of the year is not winter. Now, hey, you can find something to be. Do you ever thank God that we've got a spring and a summer and a fall and a winter and it's beautiful seasons we enjoy? Do you ever thank God? Have you ever maybe been to the coast and seen the massive and beautiful oceans and seen the power of the waves? Have you ever gone and just traveled some? I haven't got to travel much in Canada yet. I want to do that. But I traveled a lot in the States and crossed through a lot of states. And I've seen a lot of God's beautiful creation. It is amazing, and it's something to just praise God for His creation. Do you ever thank God for that He's given you fresh water to drink? Now, I'm glad. Isn't it amazing how when God made this world, you know, the oceans and so on, they're all salt water, but then there's fresh water too? You couldn't drink the salt water. Isn't it amazing how God's provided for you water and God's provided for you food and God's provided us for things, even in the plants and so on, that are medicinal to help people with their health? God's creation is amazing. Isn't it amazing how God gives us air to breathe? Aren't you glad that like the trees, they suck in that carbon monoxide and it becomes oxygen when it gives off and we get to breathe in the oxygen? And it's amazing. God's given us air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink. He's given us a wonderful creation. He's given us birds to hear sing. He gives us a lot of things to enjoy. We go on here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 8. It says, "And found us his heart faithful before thee, and made us a covenant," talking about it with Abraham, "made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites." Goes to the end of the verse and says, "And thou hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." Of course, they were thinking of the things that God did particularly for their nation, for their people, for their father Abraham, and for the nation of Israel. It says, "And did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt." Remember, they'd been in bondage in Egypt. They'd been in slavery in Egypt, but God used Moses and God brought them out of that slavery. It says, "And heard us their cry by the Red Sea, and show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as it is this day." Why did God get such a powerful name? Well, because there he did a great miracle for them. When the Egyptian armies were behind them and the Red Sea was in front of them and they had no place to go, God used Moses there and parted the Red Sea, and God brought his people across and God allowed them to escape out of Egypt and escape from the slavery that they'd been in, the bondage. God brought them through. They were remembering and thinking back to some great things that God had done for them in their life. It says in verse 12, "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way that they should go." When God brought them out of Egypt and God was going to lead them through the wilderness, he gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They guided them. They showed them the direction God wanted them to go as it brought them to the promised land. But it did even more than that. Do you know that out in that hot wilderness, the cloud in the daytime was a shade for them? In that the desert can be very hot in the day, but it can become very, very cold at the nighttime. And God gave them a pillar of fire in the nighttime to help keep them warm. God was every step of the way providing for them, protecting them, and taking care of them. And it did them good to remember that and to think about that. And then to praise the Lord and bless the name of the Lord for the things that he had done. It says in verse 15, "And give us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go and to possess the land." God gave them manna in the wilderness, that every day they could go out and they could pick some fresh bread off the ground for that day, if you will. God provided them their daily bread. God provided them with rock in the wilderness. Water out of the rock. It says in verse 16, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of a great kindness, and forsookest them not. They remember how their forefathers had, they really just took it for granted all that God did for them. And they became so complacent and even rebellious towards God and began to disobey God in many ways. They made the molten calf and they began to worship that. Their hearts began to turn away from God when they took it for granted so much they had done. But they remember, but God in His mercy still pardoned them. God in His mercy was still willing to forgive them. God in His mercy was still willing to restore them. And as they thought about that, they said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord our God forever and ever." Because they began to think of His grace and His mercy and His love and His long suffering and His patience in their life. Hey, do we have some of that to be thankful for too? Don't you have a lot to be thankful for? Hasn't God been patient with you and with me? He's been long-suffering. He's been forgiving. He's been gracious. He's been so merciful. Verse 19 says, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness." Verse 20, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst." Verse 21, "Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their children waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." Has God taken care of you? Anybody starved this week? Has anybody because they total lack not eaten in several weeks? I mean, you can do it by choice if you want to, but has anybody not had anything? No, God's been good. God's provided. I think you probably all had a place to sleep tonight, last night that was warm. You had shelter. You had provision. You had food. God has given us so much. They gave them kingdoms. Gave them so much. We read on and on and see these things in this chapter. But God was merciful. God was gracious. God provided. God protected them. Look down in verse number 36, if you would. It says, "Behold, we are servants this day. And for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominions over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." They were at a time here where they recognized that some of their sinfulness and, to be honest, their great rebellion against God, that was what put them in the situation they'd been in. That was what had put them into captivity. God had been good to them. And they had much to thank the Lord for and bless the Lord for. God wants all of His people to bless His holy name. To bless Him for His greatness. To bless Him for all His benefits. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Forget not the benefits that you enjoy because of Him. Bless Him for His gift of salvation towards you. Bless Him for His mercy and pardon and forgiveness of sins that we've received through faith in Christ. We have so much to bless the Lord for. If we'll stop and we'll take time to think about it, we can remember all that the Lord God has done for us and remember His loving kindness and recognize His power. And we can bless Him. The Bible tells us, as I said before, to bless the Lord at all times. That means that even in the midst of some difficulties or trials in the Lord, you still have some reasons to bless the Lord. You may have some trials in your life or some difficulties at times, but I'm glad that I don't walk through that alone. God is walking with me. And He helps me. And He sustains me. and He cares about me. You have some reasons to bless the Lord and to praise Him and to thank Him for His goodness towards you. We're commanded to bless the Lord. We have some reasons to bless the Lord. You have some reasons. And I want you to go home and think about it. And not just today. We ought to make it a daily practice in our life that like the psalmist often spoke, that it may be in the morning, it may be in the nighttime, it may be in the night watches, it may be that we are taking times where we meditate and we're thinking about God's goodness and His power and His grace. And when we remember Him and we think about Him, it causes us to be thankful towards Him and to praise Him and to tell Him how much we love Him. God wants that. God's thinking about you, but He wants you to be thinking about Him. He wants me to be thinking about Him every day and remembering Him and meditating on Him. Will you do that? Take time to think about your God and then thank your God. Take time to remember your God and then to praise your God, to bless His name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We've got a lot of reasons to bless the Lord. I want to say one last thing here. If you look at Nehemiah 9. I say this in conclusion. We won't feel like standing up to bless the Lord if we're hiding sin in our heart and in our lives. We won't feel like blessing the Lord with all my soul, all that is within me, if we're hiding sin in our heart and lives. In Nehemiah, in these chapters, before the people stood up to bless the Lord, there was some confession of sin that took place. They got right with God in their hearts. They were recognizing their great sinfulness and how they'd rebelled against God. And they confessed that sin, forsook it, got things right with the Lord. And then they were able to stand and bless the Lord. Nehemiah 9, we read it. Talking about the children of Israel, they were assembled, they were in fasting. Again, it was a time of mourning over their sin, where they would wear sackcloth and be in ashes, and they were mourning over their sin. They were grieved by their sinfulness. And then it says, in the seed of Israel, verse 2, separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Oh, we need to stand up and bless the Lord, but may I say that before we even do that, we need to stand up and we need to confess our sins to God. We need to be honest with God about our own situation in life. What should we do? Well, we better get in God's Word. We need to spend time in the Word of God. So I challenge you in this new year to make a decision that you'll strive to read the Bible every day. Read a portion of the Bible every day and ask God to speak to your heart through His Word. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. The Bible tells us this book can be like a mirror to us. This book is like looking into a mirror that will show us a reflection of our life compared to the Word of God and our life compared to what God wants it to be. And it may be that sometimes it reveals some things that are not so nice. But when we see that, we're to confess our sins to God and forsake it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is not an iron-fisted God that is always looking to, and He wants to destroy you when you do wrong. He's a God who is wanting to forgive and wanting to restore, but He wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to come before Him, recognizing when we're unclean and seeking His forgiveness and making sure that things are right between our heart and between our heart and the Lord. We need to spend time in God's Word and we need to confess our sins. God's Word will convict us and cleanse us if we'll confess our sins to the Lord and be willing to align our life with what God wants. Align our life with God's Word. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I want to be able to bless the Lord with all my soul and all my heart. I want to be able to bless the Lord with all that is within me. That it not be that, oh, for a moment I can bless the Lord, but then I'm off over here living in my sin. And when we're doing that, we don't feel like blessing the Lord. We don't feel like talking about the Lord. We don't feel like thinking about the Lord when we're just wanting to hide somewhere in darkness in our sin. Because we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when we do that, 1 John says, then we can have fellowship with Him. But when we're not walking in the light, and we're not spending time in the Word of God, and we're not walking with our Lord, and we're not spending time in prayer, and we're not confessing our sin and forsaking our sin, I'm not going to feel much like blessing the Lord. Truth is, I'm not going to feel like thinking about the Lord. I'm going to try to put God out of my mind. I'm going to try to put God's Word out of my mind. I'm going to try to not think about God. Because when we're in sin and darkness, we'd rather put it off. We'd rather not think of Him. First, confess our sins, forsake our sins. Spend time in the Word of God and spend time in prayer and confess things to God and make sure that things are right between your soul and the Savior. You know what? You'll find it a whole lot easier to bless the Lord. You'll find it a whole lot more natural and a whole lot more that you can continually fill your mouth with the praises of God. That you can daily, at morning, at noon, at nighttime, at any time, be able to just bless the Lord and thank the Lord and praise the Lord for His goodness. I challenge you, let's stand up and bless the Lord. Challenge you to think about Him. Keep Him in your thoughts. Remember Him. Praise Him. Exalt Him. Magnify Him. He wants that. He wants to be remembered. He wants to be thought of. He wants to be blessed. It's not just, oh Lord, bless us. Lord, bless me. You ought to be able to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.